Welcome to East Meets West, episode 245. I'm Tom Merritt.
And I'm Roger Chang.
And joining us today, the inimitable Owen, I almost gave you an Irish pronunciation to your name. Owen J.J. Stone, a.k.a. O-Doctor. Welcome to the show.
A.k.a. the guy that robbed Roger last night. Boy!
Is that what happened? Roger, we were talking about this in the pre-show. Roger, you got burgled.
Yes. I did not find out until this morning when the police were knocking, banging on my door.
Now, that is an unusual story. Generally, people get burgled and they call the police and the police never show up. You got burgled and the police told you?
Yes. They got me. It's like, see this police officer outside. It's like, holy crap. It's like, what happened? It's just said, your car's been stolen, robbed, is what I heard. And I thought, like, did someone boost my car? Is it like a giant oil stain where my car once stood? And I grabbed my pants because I was wearing my pajamas. Came downstairs, locked the front door, and got into the back of the squad car, which I might add is very uncomfortable because they have to put
that barrier. I think it's designed to be that way, yeah.
Well, no, they have to put that barrier so you lose like half the leg room. So yeah. I can see why people who are placed in custody get upset back there. And then she takes me over, going down the wrong way of a one-way street. But it's okay. It's a squad car. And I see it in my trunk. My trunk is open. And the office, one of the her partner was basically dusting for prints. Something I've never heard of. They were dusting for prints at my burgled car.
And they actually were dusting for prints.
Yes. And now I have to get all that dust off my tin of Altoids that I keep in the glove compartment for Veronica.
So what happened? Did like a neighbor report that? Yeah.
I parked next to a church. I parked next to a Catholic church. No one, I was under the mistaken perception that you don't, do anything inside of the Catholic church because they're kind of like the mob.
You weren't parked inside the church.
No,
on the
next
street.
To it. Yes.
The street is not holy ground, right, O-Doctor?
That's true. But it's like the mob. They have a sphere of influence that you don't cross. You don't
ever
cross
really?
A Catholic.
I mean, Roger, 31 priests just got arrested in Philadelphia for messing with little kids. And you trying to park at a church for safety? You're in the wrong place, brother.
Well, right, Roger, did you have any children in your trunk?
Huh?
You didn't have any children in your trunk.
So they pilfered through my trunk, and, I don't have anything in there except, a spider tire iron and the windshield wiper fluid, jumper cables, blanket, and like 3-year-old peanut bag or a bag of 5-year-old peanuts I got from one of your A's baseball games in the box seats.
That sounds like a good place for the homeless to park at. You got a blanket in there. You got some snacks.
That was a quarter of my emergency put in the trunk thing. It's like having a full tank of gas. I always try to have a full tank of gas because you never know what happens during the week that may require you to drive outside of town and there won't be any available gas stations.
Really? You live in a major city and you're worried about finding gas stations?
During a natural disaster or a major event, you're not going to get
access. During a natural disaster, you're not going to be able to drive anywhere anyway because there's going to be so much traffic and congestion. You better have a bicycle.
Doctor, you've never seen 2012. You just drive... and you leap over the cracks in the earth as it's breaking open. Yeah.
And you got to go fast enough that the cracks don't catch up to you, but they can still follow you around the city block.
You use the cracking earth as a ramp, and then you dive and drive through the skyscraper on one of the floors and then land safely on the other side.
So, haven't you learned anything from movies?
Do either one of you guys have a go bag?
I used to.
Yeah, I do. No.
We call it
a 72-hour bag, but same thing, same idea.
Yeah, I have a go bag. Roger, you got to get on that, baby.
I know. I need to get the. I still actually need to get the little safety deposit box so I can put cash in it.
So let me tell you what's better than cash, right? So in my go bag, I've got gun ammo, but the most important thing in it, condoms and cigarettes. I don't smoke, but I got two cases of Newports because that shit's going to be like gold. in case stuff gets there.
It's fun, man. We're coming to. I'm not saying you're wrong in any way. In fact, I got some ideas for things to add to my bag now. But we're coming at it from entirely different directions.
I'm trying to survive.
Like, I've got Tylenol and like bandages and wire and you know all the things that you know the first aid type stuff and a compass and you know all that. You're like, I got a gun. I got currency in the form of cigarettes and condoms.
Yes. Yeah. I've got a little medicine kit, but when people get desperate, they'll do anything for cigarettes. And if I got to repopulate the planet, I just got to make sure that I'm protected. These are certain things you need.
Repopulate the planet if you're protected.
Oh, well, I need to be protected first because she might not be clean. I mean, we got to be selective. We got to try it out first, Roger, before you just go dip it in the well.
Plus, those condoms are currency too. People are going to be looking for those. And, you can trade those. You should, in all seriousness, you should have a well-stocked first aid kit. You should have an emergency sleeping blanket, one of those foil ones. You should have a tarp, a big old like blue tarp folded up in there. You should have some rope. And you know, there's great places. Just look up 72-hour kit online and you can find a list of all the stuff you have in there. But Odakta's going above and beyond. He's giving you some hints and like, once you've got the basics covered, the emergency things you need to survive, there's some things that might, you know, make your post-apocalyptic world a little easier to navigate.
I've got two small rifle or a shotgun though.
Because I've got a 9mm with 250 rounds.
What if you need to pick someone off down the road?
The 9mm handgun. It brings up the topic of conversion to the metric system.
Okay.
Why haven't we converted to the freaking metric system? Can you imagine if we called it the 0.7-inch gun? Nine mil sounds a lot cooler. So
we still say 38, 44, 45, metric system, a 22.
Huh?
I mean, we still say that. We still say 38 or 44.
Yeah, but which one sounds better?
Yeah. 44. Dirty Harry, 44. Blow your head clean off. Come on.
And somebody in the chat room saying it won't last long against the zombie apocalypse, but at least I got a head start, and I'm a good shot. I'm shooting for the head, and I don't want to be weighed down. A shotgun and all that kind of stuff. I got 12 rounds. I got to reload. You know what I mean? You got an extended clip. I mean, you got to be mobile, baby. I'm already overweight. I need something I can move with.
Decent rifle, I'm sure you could pick someone off well before they, you know, get into any kind of lethal distance within you. And it's
have
great
you not
for
seen people
catching,
sneak up
you
on
know,
you?
What if you need to catch your dinner on hooves, right? What if it's a deer? You need venison or something. Right? You go chase after a deer with a 9mm. See how far you get.
No, you got a good point, Roger, but a 9mm is a lot more portable.
Yeah, and when zombies run up on you, Roger, I'd love to see you with a rifle try and pop off four zombies right in your face.
You're going, clack, 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 clack. I am a veteran of Left 4 Dead and Left 4 Dead 2. My weapon of choice is an AR or a sniper rifle. All right? Okay. That you know why? Because the little 9mm they give you is your weapon of last resort.
Well, now, if we're talking about zombie apocalypse, neither one of you want to be shooting off guns because you just attract all the rest of the zombies to you. You need an axe. You need a bat. You need something that you can take off that head without bringing the herd.
Bring in the herd. Can we make bring the herd, not the herd.
That's right.
Can we make an agreement together that if any one of us gets rich, we will make a game, like a real life game, like just get 100 people to attack us and we get like foam bats with like paint on them and like paintball guns and then see who survives and just have a wave of people run at you and you just have to defend yourself with these weapons and see how far we get before somebody gets to bite us. And they actually get to fight us so we can see if they bite us.
Well,
I'd love to
paintball.
See
you know
who
what?
Lasts long.
Well, I have an even better idea. I'll dress you up in raw meat and drop you in the middle of a big lion cage.
No, because then they'll actually get eaten, and we won't be able to talk to him about it afterwards. Doctor's plan at least allows for a postmortem that involves the mortem being a part of the discussion.
Because the video game is way
without
different
the
to
element
real life.
Of real danger, it's not as exciting. It's the spice. It's the little spice that you add. It's a little pepper. It's a little pepper.
I don't know. A meat suit in a lion cage seems like overspicing.
Fine. I'll put you in a meat suit in the middle of Yellowstone.
No, why is it just got to be me? I said really all three of us. Food. You want to get in the meat suit and get the lion cage? Let's roll.
You noticed that Roger opted himself out once the meat suit was on the table.
You know what? I did bring the suggestion of hiring a bunch of people to go attack us. You want to be attacked? I got a perfect way for you to be attacked.
I'm just trying to figure out if your video game skills translate to real life. You're trying to tell me about your skill level in a video game. I'm trying to survive. Or... we could just wrestle a whole bunch of midgets and see how many midgets we could take down before you get taken down.
Yes, because there's going to be a midget apocalypse, and you'll be...
There could be a midget apocalypse.
That'd be a micropolypse.
Okay. I asked my question a long time ago. I said, how many kids could you beat up? Like, if you were being attacked by children, how many kids could you take? And he's like, I could probably take, 25, 30 kids in between the ages of 7 and 14. I'm like, that's a lot of kids. 25 kids?
The only solution was
to hire midgets. To fight you and see how many
they're called little people, Doctor.
I'm sorry.
You take five or seven.
You can take five or seven?
You can go anywhere from what he said, 7 to 14 or 8 to 14. I'm assuming if they're all 14, five is probably the limit before he gets overwhelmed.
You keep talking about this, you're going to have a gang of little people at your door going to show you what they can do to you.
I don't know why little people are so sensitive about being called little people. It's just like how I can't talk to some of my black friends because they're like, I want to be called African-American. I want to be called black. I was like, everybody's so specific about what they want to be called. Like,
well, you know what it is? It's people pack meaning into words, right? That's how we're able to communicate without talking in like huge, long soliloquies is, there's a lot of assumed meaning, but sometimes that turns bad. So a lot of times when you say midget, there's a negative connotation associated with that. And people who are small get tired of that. And same thing with black. Sometimes people say, you know what? I'm tired of having everybody think of these associations tied to these words. I want to be called something else. But what you're saying is just blow off the associations, reappropriate it, make it mean what you want to mean.
It's just a word. Like one of my cousin was sitting with me, and one of my friends who's a white guy comes in, and he adopted an African-American child, and he kept talking and saying African-American, and my cousin would not talk to him. And he's like, is there something wrong? He's like, I just don't like the term African-American. I think it's offensive. And you should be calling that child black. And he's like, honestly, I don't know what to call him. So, if you're sitting here upset, thank you for sharing that with me, but I don't know what to call him. So it puts that white person in an awkward situation of what do you call somebody? So, I mean, they're just, people are just so fickle anymore about it. I understand the point.
So I knew a South African once, and I was wondering, do you call yourself like an African American? Because technically, that's what you are.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I just call myself South African, and just leave it at that. Yeah, but it's interesting because I know also a lot of African immigrants from recent immigrants, kind of confused on how to define themselves because they don't consider themselves African Americans in the same way that the majority of Americans consider that term. And so they're kind of left in a weird, technical, I guess you would, the best way to phrase it, hang up, what do you call yourself? So they use their country of origin. So I'm Senegalese, whatever. I'm Kenyan, whatever. Kenyan American, Senegalese American, or whatever. And they just don't use the term black or African. It's very interesting.
We're the only culture, I think, that does it. I've been in China, I've been to Europe, and no one else uses the, I've met black people in Germany that were born in Germany. They're just like, oh, I'm German. And they don't say I'm African German. Like, we're the only ones that say Asian American or Latin American.
Yeah, a lot of other people do.
Do they? I never hear it.
Oh, yeah.
I never hear it.
It's, Canadian, if you're in Canada, you're Canadian Asian or your Chinese.
Yeah,
Canadian,
but I think really? It is an American. I think it's a Western Hemisphere thing more than an Eastern Hemisphere thing, and I believe it has to do with the fact that the native populations got wiped out here, and so there wasn't a German or a Chinese culture to come in and identify with, and so everybody had to identify themselves like, oh well, I'm this kind of American, because you couldn't just say, well, I'm German, I was born in Germany, or I'm French, I was born in France. In the U.S. it's like we haven't got to that point where we just say my ethnicity is American.
It's you know, it's one of those hot potatoes that, you know, depending on what side of the fence you are, you have very valid arguments for and against. And it's interesting to see this debate because it actually happens outside the U.S. borders. You know, how people define themselves in relation to the majority of the people there, right? You know, whether you're, you know, ethnically German or, you know, you're a black German, you know, descended from immigrants that came one or two generations back. I mean, how do you define yourself? Do you define yourself solely on your birth nationality, or do you base your identity on your ethnic background that some people do? And, you know, there's a different answer for everyone. And it's one of those things that I think people try to make one size fits all, and I don't think it works. I mean,
well, and the weird thing is when we make that transition, I think we're within 100 years of making that transition in the U.S. Maybe it's a little longer, but you talk about English being English. What does it mean to be English, right? And they're like, well, I'm from England. I was born in England. Well, what about, you know, what about the Muslim couple that had kids in London? Are, you know, they're English too. Well, I'm ethnically English. What is ethnically English? If you dig back, you'll find out being ethnically English can mean a lot of different things. You could be a Briton, you could be a Norman, you could be right. A French, you know, I mean, and if you go far enough back, you're talking about Celts and the Beaker people, right. And it, every ethnicity, every nation is a history of
Africa.
Waves
it's,
of invasion.
Well, it's going to be,
Africa.
It's
okay from Africa.
Well, it's
well, yeah, well, know, well they're certain, they found some, what did they find some evidence recently of the possibility of that not all the populations may have come out of Africa at the in that same wave, that there may have been like an earlier wave in Indonesia or something. I can't remember exactly.
It's interesting about the human migration. I mean, kind of stepping toward what Tom was saying, is that there are now theories being put forth that, you know, not only did there were various populations that moved out at different times of Africa, but there are actually populations that moved back in, kind of a boomerang. They went up north and then they came back down around. And it's interesting because, you know, there's so much fossilized evidence that stirring into question a lot of the existing, you know, theories about, you know, human migration in the Americas, in Southeast Asia, in Oceania, you know, in Europe. And it'll be interesting once they kind of get a better picture to kind of see, you know, where all these people, you know, went, came from, and you know, are now living, because, you know, they found, you know, evidence of you know, European migration as far as Western China. You know, they found burial grounds, you know, with people that, you know, looked very, you know, had red hair and very, you know, Caucasian looking features. And it's, you know, it's curious because so much of how we identify ourselves is based on kind of an ethnic, not only an ethnic, but a regional tie-in, right? My people are from this part of the world. You know, we all sprung forth from this part of the world. And, you know, what science has basically told us is that we're a race, we're a species that is constantly on the move. We constantly migrate from one location to another. So, you know, unless people are being planted in the soil and physically erupting from the ground, I mean, it's really hard to say, you know, who was from where. And, you know, are terms like Aboriginal and Indigenous have any meaning at some point? Or just rather lose their meaning?
And nationalism is a fairly recent trend in humanity. I mean, there were empires before, but those empires were embodied in a small group or a single person. But the idea of being a nation, a political state that is also a people all at the same time, that's only within the past, you know, 500 years that idea has really taken root. Before that, lands and peoples were the definitions were a lot more fluid.
I just can't wait for Star Trek time when we're all just humans and we've got to deal with aliens and we're just, you know, everybody's smart and, you know, all the dumb
you
people.
You know,
like
I honestly believe not everyone in Star Trek, in the Star Trek universe, in that kind of society, that there weren't some people that were just kind of lacking common sense.
Really?
You know, there has to,
I think our government and the world, the top 1%, is doing a very good job of killing off the stupid and the ignorant and doing population control. I mean, they throw people in jail for petty crimes. They're not funding schools and education in this country, at least. We do a good job of killing off the dumb.
The smartest, richest people in the world are the ones that reproduce the least.
Oh, I understand that. I'm just saying that in general, we're killing off a lot of dumb people at one time. And at some time in the future, most people will be smart for some reason.
Yeah, maybe.
Actually, there have been a few studies that claim we're a lot smarter and better looking than humanity was.
Oh,
you know, 500 to 1,000 years ago. Yeah, but you know,
the reason why I don't like terms like better looking is it's a very subjective term. It's how do you define better looking?
Everybody looks back at old pictures, you're like, that was your beauty of that day. That is not good looking. That's how you judge that, Roger.
Actually, there's some pretty rigorous ways to define beauty, you know, on a large scale like that. Because you could do some objective tests about what is appealing in general. You know, they've made that one sort of combination picture that's like, this has the most high index appealing characteristics of a human face. And I think that's what they use to do these studies and say, you know, there was a lot more deformities. There's a lot more disease. There are a lot more things to detract from
a lot more that malnutrition.
Malnutrition too. That detracted from that sort of average human face.
Me, so that's not that attractive.
That's malnutrition in reverse, right?
Yeah, that's overnutrition.
it'll be interesting. I mean, I think the ultimate expression of, you know, of humanity's desire to look a certain way or you know, be a certain way intellectually, physically, like if they're athletic and stuff, will be when you can literally build to order your kid like you do a car. Right? I want a kid, you know, who does this, that.
Wait, you mean I go into the doctor's office and I'm like, hey, and they're like, hey, can I interest you in a new kid? We've got a great new line. You're like, we got these really great new deals on girls these days. Let me talk to my manager. And I bet I can get you a deal on blue eyes.
Let me tell you something. Probably not as far away as you think, Tom.
I've engineered my child and I didn't need a doctor or anything special to do it. You know
you
look at the mother and then you go boom. Like the mother of my child, she's German, she's 5'11", her dad's like 6'4", her brother's 6'3". And I'm thinking, if I had a son, I need height because you can't teach height. So that's why I chose her. And now, if you look in the chat room, Boomtown, look at that beautiful child I created. My baby is gorgeous, supermodel. I didn't have to see no doctor, no nothing. But I'm selective about the women that I impregnate. FYI, I'm looking for some Asian women. I'm trying to make a
Malaysian. So what you're saying is you have more than one wife.
Hmm?
You're saying you're having more than one wife, or you're not married.
Oh, I'm not married. I'm just making babies. I'm making the world a better place with my genetics.
So
I make beautiful babies.
So you do the Gregor Mendel approach to genetic manipulation. Yeah.
I'm going to try, you know, I'm going to have a little Latino kid, have a Blasian, you know, I'm just going to go to all the continents and leave my seed.
A Blasian? What's a Blasian?
Black Asian. I'm not sure if I'm going to pick a Japanese woman, Chinese woman, Filipino. So I just say Blasian. I might hit all the little continents up.
All the little continents. All seven.
There's a lot. All of them. I'm trying to make babies, Roger.
Fine. I'll see how successful you are in Antarctica.
might be a problem.
It's a continent.
A scientist.
True. A hot scientist. And she'll be smart. And then my kid will be smart. See,
that's
Roger? Because
right.
I pick women that are better than me. Because so all can, I can bring, obviously, kids? Is good looks.
You know, it's interesting you say that. Because there is a cultural phenomenon that is expressed throughout Latin America where that attitude prevails. Where you better the blood by marrying into what is considered to be a better ethnicity or a racial category.
Well, there's a caste system.
It's like, don't marry that guy because your baby's going to be blacker than you. You want to marry a lighter skinned or a white person because they'll better the blood that way. Yeah, it's very interesting.
My rule is date someone better than you. And people are like, well, if I listen to you, then who's going to be dating somebody better? I'm like, well, I know that I want somebody that's better than me. That could be financial, that could be intelligence, that could also just mean spirit. Like, you could just be a nice person. I'm not that nice. I'm very rude and ignorant. So if you were just a kind, sweethearted person, I consider that better than me.
I don't know if this is a flaw, but you've probably thought about this. You're trying to marry someone or breed with someone who is better than you, that brings in better characteristics. And that's no disrespect to yourself. You're saying, look, I want my children to improve, so I'm going to find somebody better than me. But if you're looking for that person, if they're smart, is going to be doing the same thing and not want to breed with you.
Exactly. But I trick people. You know, I got you thinking I'm a nice guy. That's how I got on the show.
Then you're better than them at tricking.
And they're not that smart. And so basically what you've done is you've knocked up a dumber
person. No. See, I said about certain things. It could be intelligence. It could be financial situation. It could be looks.
But if you need
it doesn't mean that
cheat.
They're smarter than me.
They're not better than you entirely.
Smart guy by bagging them.
They're not better than you entirely. They're better than you at certain things.
At something.
All right. And you're bringing something to the table too.
Yeah, something that I deem valuable. And they'll think that I'm funny, and that'll be good enough for them.
So you're bringing the humor and the good breeding program sense.
Yes.
Will be passed
along. And they can check off African-American on scholarships. Their kid will probably be able to dunk and or run fast. I mean, I'm bringing a lot of stuff
to the
table.
You can dunk?
Built-in all-year-round tan. They don't have to pay for tanning. I mean, I've got a whole bunch of
ladies. Wait, you can dunk?
Yeah, I used to be able to dunk in 99 was the last time I dunked. I got it on video and
on
a picture.
On how big of a basket?
A regular basket, 10 foot.
A 10 feet, 10 foot basket?
Yeah.
All right, just asking. You'll also contribute
huge,
an amazing
Tom.
Ability to pull off
into
a jersey.
This situation. I wasn't always this big. I was actually like a little skinny kid that got beat up because I had this mouth and I didn't have enough muscle to back it up or mass to back it up. But I used to be small. Then I got money and I started eating, and eating was good.
You also wear a jersey very well.
Yes. I've retired to jerseys, Tom.
That's something you can pass along to your progeny.
Yeah. I've retired wearing jerseys. I'm not wearing jerseys right now anymore. I bought a whole new wardrobe.
What are you wearing right now? What jersey?
Let's do
the O-Doctor red carpet.
Sean John. I got a pink. I also bought a pink shirt. I'm going to start asking people for money, Tom, so I need to stop acting and looking ghetto. I have to present myself in a more palatable fashion.
You're not asking people for money in a different way than you used to ask them for money.
Oh, I'm going to ask people for big money now, Tom. Money.
Yeah. It's funny. When you ask people for small money, you need to look like really shabby. But when you ask for big money, you need to look like you have money. Why is that?
Exactly. That's the situation I'm in right now. So I had to stop wearing the jerseys and the do-rags and the baggy jeans. So I had to switch it up.
Wouldn't it make more sense if you went into a venture capitalist meeting and you're asking for these millions of dollars to wear something really threadbare and say, look, you know, I've been working so hard on this idea. I really need your money. I've got none.
I'm black walking into a lot of white guys' offices. I think that's good enough for looking bare and however they're going to think about that.
Did you all see I saw this on All Things Digital. It was a 3-minute video of an actual pitch. You know, they have these big pitch meetings now, these like pitch festivals, like demo, where you get a bunch of people go on stage and make a 3-minute pitch, and then hoping that some, you know, catch some angel investor, some venture capitalist eye. And this woman went up and did a 3-minute pitch about how she wanted to bottle air in various exotic locations and then sell it to people because it was, you know, it was rarefied air, like from the top of Mount Everest is an example of rare air that you'd be able to sell at a value add. Well, it was a spoof, right? I mean, the idea was she was mimicking all the ways people go through the pitch building process with this sort of crazy thing. And it's so funny to watch the crowd shots of people with this sort of like, first they're amused because they think she's just doing some jokes to get into it. But then she starts talking about selling bottled air. And then they look kind of pissed, like, why are you wasting our time? And then the more it becomes evident that she's like hitting all of the ways that people do the pitch, like note for note, like your classic, like, and here's the problem. And here's the, you know, what we have found.
Solution, yeah.
And you start to see him start to smirk. And then she gets this huge round of applause at the end.
Yeah, I want to see that video. So remind me about that later.
Look it up on allthingsd.com. I think it was Thursday or Friday they had it up. But they have a series called Viral Video where they just highlight these different things. And that was one they highlighted at the end of last week.
awesome sauce. Yeah, so my pitch should be good. I'm an animated person, so my pitch is easy. I can sell anybody on anything, so that's a no-brainer for me. Did I tell you, Roger, I'm doing something, Tom?
Yeah, no, what are you building? We're getting to the end of the show. Go ahead and make your pitch.
Roger, you still with me?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Oh, I miss you, Roger. I haven't seen you since last year, and it's been a long time, and I know that I'm not really allowed on the show, so I thank you for allowing me to be here with you, Roger.
Sure. I know people miss me a lot. I have that effect.
You do have that effect. So I'm building a social network. It's in dev right now, and I'm building it under the name Hippo Ninja because I'm trying to buy the real domain that I want. And that's a huge hassle. So that's why I got to start asking people for money so I can get the money to buy the domain that I want. But the network's going to be one to one instead of one to many. So that's all I could tell you. But it's going to be sweet. Tom, Roger, you guys can get invites and beta test, even though I know you guys are busy. But I'll at least show it to you.
Yeah, sure. I'll give it a shot. Yeah. Definitely.
Sure.
Yeah.
I just pushed the link.
Is just a name link. That's funny.
I just put the link to the startup pitch. Share the Air was the name of the presentation.
Yeah, I got it. I want to wait till after the show so I can watch it. But yeah, I got it. I'm on tap for that.
By Rachel Sequoia. All right, well, that's it for this edition of East Meets West. Roger, you got any last words before we head along?
Yeah, whoever busted my window, I'm going to be looking for you. I'll tell you that much. Carry a tire and a wrap.
He's gonna go grab Odakta's go bag.
Right? Yeah, see, Roger, if you have my go bag, you can take care of business.
I can take care of business and send my car when they become a hood ornament.
Did you lock your GPS, Roger?
It wasn't. It was nothing. Was in plain sight. All right. No suction cup. No square. No nothing.
It's so funny seeing you upset. Like if you watch this show later, when you said your name, that is the most defrumped like Roger speech I've ever heard. Like you're just like Roger Chang. Roger. I'm Roger here. You sound so sad. I'm sorry, Roger. I'm sorry. Hugs.
Thank you.
Everyone, please pass along your hugs to Roger at our blog, subbrilliant.com/EMW. Big thanks to Odakta for being on the show. Love having you on, man. We're going to try to do more guests on East Meets West, kind of move towards that talk show kind of situation, but we're still not defining what the show is. So appreciate you coming along. Appreciate everybody for watching or listening. Big thanks to Jammer B for running the board there back in the studio. Thanks to Leo for letting us stream it live on Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. At live.twit.tv. Thanks to the Frog Pants Network for making the podcast possible. And most of all, thanks to Mom for bearing me, without which I couldn't be here. See you next week.
Love you, Mom.
All right. Bye.
Later.
Information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.